Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. Greetings from the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, and welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, May the 8th of 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're really glad you've chosen to join us this afternoon. You know what? We're posting this a little later in the day than we normally would because we got to spend lunchtime with Derek's mother, and you know what? That was so much fun. I'm just so glad she's living close to us now.
Me too. She's been for a couple of years, but the place that she's at right now is, it's a retirement community, but different in that folks who can live independently, like mom can, have their own little house.
Yeah, and so a lot of them are retired pastors or ministers some kind. Yeah, it's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, so, wonderful. We're already got our eyes on some of the places over there. When we get too old and, you know, decrepit to keep up with the property here, we're moving in right next door.
Sam says, I'm kicking them out.
That's right.
Especially, they get to where they can't, bring home the snacks anymore.
Yeah, you're on your own. You got to get the retirement. So, today in our Old Testament study, we'll again do a number of Psalms and some 2 Samuel from some 1 Chronicles as we continue with our chronological path through the Old Testament.
Chronological?
Yes, our chronological. And we'll open with a word of prayer.
He's leaving. Yeah. That was a bad one.
Yeah, you guys are that's it. I'm going. Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for our parents. We thank you for our mothers especially, Lord. We thank you for your word, which guides us and instructs us. And Lord, as we read through the scriptures, we pray that you will guide us so that we properly understand your word and your will. There are things we know we won't understand perfectly because we are flawed, we are limited. And there are things that are deliberately obscured until such time as you choose to reveal them, which may not be until you return to call us home. Lord, we just pray that in the meanwhile, as long as we're here, that you'll help us with wisdom, grant us wisdom and understanding. And we pray that that it be so as we begin to study today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mid-afternoon slump, the blood is flowing away from,
thinking of the Cubs, aren't
you? Yeah, I wondered why my dad always took Sunday and Saturday and Sunday afternoons, which I thought were like the greatest part of the week, you know, when I was a school kid, and dad was asleep on the couch. And now that I'm 54, I'm like, oh yeah, he kept that a secret. This is pretty awesome.
Well, you're really old, aren't you?
Yeah. Starting
Wait,
with
well, some, you're my age.
Well, I'll have to go backwards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, honey, you're really nice. Is it because it's Mother's
Day?
No, yes, you're always that nice to me. You really are.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny, though, because John Schlitt, the former lead singer of Petra, who was in town for a couple of wonderful interviews.
Oh, that was so much fun on Friday.
But that he was calling you kiddo.
I know. Yeah, John, I'm older than you are, bro.
I'm not going to disabuse him of that notion. He was very kind. And I said it on the New Testament study. I'll say it again here. In my radio career as a top 40 disc jockey, I had occasion to interview a number of artists. I mean, it wasn't like I was, Casey Kasem or anything like that. But, as artists would come through Peoria or St. Louis or whatever, we would have the opportunity to talk with them. But this was my favorite interview of somebody who from that genre, because he's got his head on straight.
He does indeed.
Yeah. God almost had to knock it off him first, but that is often the way.
Yeah, and those are going to be playing sometime in the next few months, maybe?
Likely in July.
Yeah.
As we're looking at the schedule now, probably in July, those interviews. But there will be a daily update about a 10-minute interview with John Schlitt that will air, that will be posted to the Skywatch TV channel on Roku, YouTube, and the website
tomorrow.
Monday, yeah. Which is tomorrow. Unless people are listening to this on Tuesday, in which case it was yesterday.
Yeah,
but we won't get into that weird time
May
shifty
9th.
Stuff. Correct.
Suddenly there's a blue phone box. Police box appearing in
with
here.
A wheezing, groaning sound.
Yeah. That's me.
Well, Psalm 25 is interesting. It's one of what they call the acrostic poems written in the original Hebrew. It is written so that the first letter of a sentence or section begins with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Mm-hmm. And so this is an individual lament, but also written as an acrostic poem, which is interesting. Of course, that doesn't translate through into the English.
No, it does not.
But just know that this is what was written. Psalm 25 of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed, who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. This really should be our prayer every day. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth. Amen to that.
Yes.
Or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. And this is, again, another link between the New Testament study and the Old Testament study, unplanned. Today in the New Testament study, talk about Jesus in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple and how the difference in how they prayed.
Yeah,
the Pharisee
much so.
Praying, you know, thank God, thank you, Lord, that you didn't make me like that sinner over there. And the tax collector not even lifting his eyes.
Be merciful.
Be merciful, for I'm a sinner. Yeah. Pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted.
I want to stop. Go back to verse 14. The alternative translation to the friendship is the secret counsel.
Oh, that's a little different connotation. And again, this kind of relates to what we talked about this morning, even though it wasn't part of the study, that you know, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2, wrote a very interesting verse about how the rulers of this age, and the word that he used in the Greek implied that he was talking about the spiritual powers who rule the age, didn't understand Jesus' mission, or they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Right.
And Paul was saying, I am relating to you secret wisdom that God has imparted, that he knew from the beginning of time to today, but the rulers of this age didn't understand it, because if they had, yeah. So this is interesting. The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. And again, something that we should always be asking.
Yep.
Modern, progressive, or liberal Christianity tends to forget that part. Jesus loved all people. He consorted with the sinners and publicans and tax collectors and prostitutes. Yes, he did, but he also said, go forth and sin no more. Mm-hmm. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Verse 19, consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles.
Now we go to Psalm 29, a psalm of David.
This is a good one.
Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings.
Ding, 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 ding.
I know.
Yes, divine counsel reference there. The Hebrew being B'nai Elohim, sons of God, or sons of might.
Sons of might.
Yeah.
Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, or in holy attire. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Another reference to taking out Leviathan.
Exactly.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders.
And this is a reference to Baal, mm-hmm. Baal, the storm god of the Canaanites.
Yes.
We also see that name show up in references in the Arameans as Hadad. Mm-hmm. Ben-Hadad was another name for Baal. But this is the Old Testament writers ascribing characteristics of Baal to Yahweh, saying, no, he's the one.
Exactly. Yeah. You got the wrong name here.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a voice. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
This is significant.
Very
yeah.
tough trees.
Well, these verses here, 5 and 6, not only ascribing to God the power that the Canaanites ascribe to Baal, but when you get to verse 6 here, there's cool stuff.
He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox.
Sirion was the name that the Phoenicians used for Mount Hermon.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he's saying here, Yahweh humbles Mount Hermon, which is where the watchers came down and began their nefarious plot to corrupt humanity.
And he did indeed. When Jesus Christ was here, he humbled Mount Hermon.
Yes, he did.
By taking it back.
Yeah. There's an awful lot of action that takes place around holy mountains in the Bible.
Yes.
And this is one that they used, again, for the purpose of ascribing the powers of Baal to Yahweh, the word that the Phoenicians or the Canaanites would have used for Mount Hermon. Interestingly, and this is just a quick aside, Sirion was also the name of the main river in the land of Beleriand in the first age of Middle Earth. Tolkien may have chosen that deliberately.
He may have.
Yeah, anyway.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
Mm-hmm.
A voice emitting fire.
Yeah.
Well, And you know, when we speak about the voice of the Lord, this is Jesus Christ. He mm-hmm. is the Word.
Yeah.
He is the spoken Word of God Almighty. So this is our Savior's ministry.
Mm-hmm. And more thunderstorm-like imagery, which again, the whole thing about Baal being the storm god. No.
Nah, it's you got
Yahweh.
The wrong one.
Yeah.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
Yeah, and that that's the southern border of Israel, but there's also a Kadesh up in northern, perhaps spelled differently. Anyway.
Well, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. There's an alternative translation to that first verse, makes the oaks to shake.
Ah,
That makes more sense. Deer give birth, that's like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to shake and strips the forests bare, and in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Yeah. And the alternative is the Lord will bless, the Lord will give his people with peace.
Mm.
So,
and by the way, I was correct. Kadesh is a city in northern Syria on the Orontes River, which was a...
Well, that makes a little more sense because this is the area that he seems to be writing about.
Exactly. Yeah. He's basically saying, you know, you Canaanites or the culture of Ugarit, which would have been to the north and west of Israel at this time,
mm-hmm.
You think Baal is all that in a bag of chips, but you got it wrong. It's Yahweh who is the God who controls the storm. He is the one who comes riding on the clouds. He is the one whose voice flashes fire. He's the one who defeated the chaos god or the sea, the ocean. Yeah, Kadesh is in northern Syria. It was the site of a very famous battle in between the Hittites and the Egyptians in the 13th century BC or thereabouts. Thutmose III was the one who fought that battle, I believe. Either him or Ramses II. I keep forgetting. Anyway, not relevant to the study. Get on foot track, Derek. Psalm 33.
Honey, you're studying all these things, and they're your head's just full of that stuff. You can't help it.
Jetsam and flotsam. Random bits of data. Psalm 33. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Again, he's the one who created all of this.
Right.
Yeah. And by the breath of his mouth, all their host, including that one you call Baal over there.
Mm-hmm.
He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. Again, demonstrating his
power over the seas.
Yes. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people.
Well, this is prophetic. Peoples.
Yes, it is. Interestingly, I talked to Jim Fletcher a while back. He's his website is prophecymatters.com. No, I'm getting the URL wrong. Anyway, he writes about prophetic matters and contributes to Breaking News Israel. But I was asking him about some of the geopolitical things going on in the Middle East and all of these plans and designs against Israel, you know, from the Islamic State to the Palestinian Authority to Hamas and so forth. He said, you know, God has Israel's back. He said, if they choose to go after Israel, I feel sorry for them.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think all too often, as you and I were talking in the car today, that we tend to look at prophecy and want to imagine its fulfillment according to our human, you know, knowledge and our constructs.
Right.
But, you know, the Lord, he's the one that started all this.
Mm-hmm.
He created this whole thing.
Right.
Everything we see, he created. So I think he's got it.
Yeah. And it's when we see ourselves acting this way, it's not hard to understand why the Israelites, despite all that God had done for them, kept coming to points in their history where they would say, well, yeah, we know you're there, but do we still want to have this alliance with Egypt just to make sure that we're going to be safe?
Yeah.
It's prophecymattersisrael.com, by the way, all one
good.
Word.
Okay.
So, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. And that would be Israel. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue.
Listen to this. I'm looking at you, United States of America.
Exactly. No, we need more nukes. More ammo. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you.
Oh, these are really good ones.
Yeah, and it is one that we have trouble really absorbing, because, you know, I joke about more ammo, but there are more ammo or more gold seems to be, I trust in you, God, but I'm going to buy more and store it up.
Well,
I mean, not that preparedness is a bad thing.
No,
not
I believe
that
in
at
that,
all.
But you know, ultimately, you have to leave it to the Lord.
Right.
He will sometimes tell you, okay, guess what's coming? I want you to get ready. Joseph, build some storehouses.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So I'm not against that at all.
No.
But ultimately, he is our salvation.
That's right. That's where our trust has to be. And that is really hard.
It's very hard. Yeah. Psalm 36.
Mm-hmm.
To the choir master of David, the servant of the Lord. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and to do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And of course, that's a wonderful picture, but Jesus himself says, how often, Jerusalem, would I have taken you
yes.
under my wings like a hen, mother hen, gathers her chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you would not. You would not have me do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. That's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise.
Hmm. Psalm 39, to the choir master, to Jeduthun, from a Psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle, so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath, Selah. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather.
Surely for nothing, or surely as a breath.
And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me, that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. That's similar to Job's cry to God, look away from me so I might have peace before I die.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, do I understand this correctly? It's 2 Samuel 8 through 9:1, just the first verse of chapter 9?
No, no, it's 2 Samuel 8 and 9, and then 1 Chronicles 18.
Okay. That was my mistake. After this day, this is 2 Samuel 8. After this, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Metheg-Amah out of the hand of the Philistines, and he defeated Moab. And he measured them with a line, making them lie down on the ground. Two lines he measured to be put to death, and one full line to be spared. And the Moabites became servants to David and brought tribute.
This is curious, because when David was in trouble running from Saul, he sent his family over to Moab, mm-hmm. where they were protected.
Yeah.
Maybe a new king who wasn't quite so friendly.
Apparently so, and only one-third of them managed to survive.
We need to keep enough alive so that they can keep growing crops that they can then send as tribute.
I guess. Yeah. David also defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, the king of Zobah, as he went to restore his power at the river Euphrates.
Now, this means apparently that Hadadezer was heading northward to... Well, there's two different ways to interpret this. Either Hadadezer was trying to restore his power in the north of what is now Syria. Or David was, and on his way back, and Hadadezer was trying to...
Strictly speaking, if it were just English only,
right.
it would be referring to the king of Zobah. But since I don't know, in Hebrew, That's another Mike Kaiser question.
Yeah, there are a couple of different translations, and scholars don't agree on this. But either way, the fight was in what is now Syria.
And David took from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers. And David hamstrung all the chariot horses, but left enough for 100 chariots. We've talked about this hamstringing of horses in the past. It is so they can't run fast and pull chariots.
Right.
They can, however, still be useful to, you know, tread down grain or to,
right.
you know, but they can't run anymore.
Yeah, David was basically disarming his northern neighbor, but left 100 chariots for, like, civil defense
just
or something.
Case.
Yeah, just in case.
They look nice.
Just in case those Assyrians get uppity.
And when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 men of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Aram of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought tribute. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold, golden shields. Now, call me crazy, but that doesn't seem very sturdy.
No, that's probably just for, you know, parades.
Yeah. Took the shields of gold that were carried by the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem and from Betah and from Berothai, cities of Hadadezer. And King David took very much bronze. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the whole army of Hadadezer, Toi sent his son Joram to King David to ask about his health. How you doing, David? And to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him. For Hadadezer had often been at war with Toi. And Joram brought with him articles of silver, of gold, and of bronze. There also King David dedicated to the Lord. These also King David dedicated to the Lord, together with the silver and the gold that he dedicated from all the nations he subdued, from Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, Amalek, and from the spoil of Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David made a name for himself when he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. There he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons. I want to make sure you understand there are garrisons in Edom.
Walt Garrison, Jim Garrison.
And all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel. That's the bottom line here.
Mm-hmm.
He took it all back. And David administered justice and equity to all his people. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder, and Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were priests, and Sarai was secretary, and Benai. On Secretary's Day, it got a little...
Yeah.
And Manai, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were priests.
Now the Cherethites or Kerethites and Pelethites were his, like, personal bodyguard.
Yeah, it would be Kerethites.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
And
yep,
they would be from Crete, and the Pelethites, it's believed, were, well, Philistines or Palestinians.
Yes.
Who had come over to David.
Yeah.
And basically served as his personal guard.
So we see you're killing everybody, so.
Yeah, well, that's probably what Toi, you know, said, look, this other guy's been kicking my butt all over, and now you kicked it. Are you going to kill me, too? I mean, just being diplomatic, which was just wise.
Still goes on today.
Yeah, that was a brutal age. You did literally rule at the point of a sword. 2 Samuel chapter 9, and David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant, which is, you know, I was Saul's servant. Mm-hmm. You killed Saul, or would have if you'd had the chance. No, he was probably afraid. And the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet. The king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo Debar. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo Debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. Now what does Mephibosheth mean? Because Bosheth is a word that means shameful thing.
So, yeah, I think it has to do with, they're talking about his feet, I think. Let me go look up.
It could be, but his brother...
Actually, it means exterminating the idol.
Oh, okay.
Son of Jonathan and grandson of Saul, yeah. Also Merib Baal.
That's what I thought, Merib Baal. Okay, because I knew that he had an uncle, Jonathan's brother, Ish Baal, man, you know, man of Baal, or man of Baal, but he's referred to in the Bible as Ish-bosheth, man of a shameful thing.
Yeah.
And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce, that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do. He was probably thinking, whew, because in another kingdom he might well have been put to death having been faithful servant to Saul. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet.
And now we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 18. Again, we are doing this chronologically. Chronicles.
Yes.
After this, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them, and he took Gath and its villages out of the hand of the Philistines.
I wonder if Achish was still the king of Gath by this point.
Probably not. And he defeated Moab, and the Moabites became servants to David and brought tribute. David also defeated Hadadezer, king of Zobath-Habath, as he went to set up his monument at the river Euphrates. The monument part was left out. Didn't see that part in 2 Samuel.
What we did is he was going to restore his monument. There was the question as to whether the he referred to David or to Hadadezer.
I'd forgotten about the monument part. I remember going up to the river Euphrates.
Yeah, yeah.
And David took from him 1,000 chariots, 7,000 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers. And David hamstrung all the chariot horses, but left enough for 100 chariots. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 men of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became, Hebrew lacks the word garrisons. It's interesting. And he put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought tribute. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were carried by the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Tibhath and from Kun, cities of Hadadezer, David took a large amount of bronze. With it, Solomon made the bronze sea and the pillars and the vessels of bronze. When instead of toy, it says tou.
T-O-U. Yeah, it's a different spelling.
When Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the whole army of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, he sent his son Hadoram to King David to ask about his health. How you doing? And to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him, for Hadadezer had often been at war with Tou. And he sent all sorts of articles of gold, of silver, and of bronze. There also King David dedicated to the Lord, together with the silver and gold that he had carried off from all the nations, from Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and Amalek. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, killed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. Then he put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went.
That's interesting, because the 2 Samuel account says David made a name for himself when he killed 18,000 Edomites. And here the account gives the credit to Abishai,
yeah,
the son of his sister,
that
so his
is
nephew.
Interesting. Well, David being the king at the time,
right,
maybe that, you know. So David reigned over all Israel, and he administered justice and equity to all of his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder, and Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were priests, and Shavshah was secretary. That's not the name I read before. It was another guy who was secretary.
The secretary in 2 Samuel 8 was Sariah, S-E-R-A-I-A-H.
Maybe it's just a variant, you know, depending on who wrote it down.
Yeah,
I spelled his name differently.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen my name spelled so many ways, and yours as well.
Yeah, Derek, how many letters can we pack into this?
Let's put in 10 R's and make sure there are 3 K's at the end. And Benai, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were the chief officials in the service of the king. And, you know, honestly, if you misspell my name, I don't care.
No, it's so.
My dad very rarely even called me Sharon. He usually called me either Sherry or Sherlock. Oh, yeah. In fact, it wasn't Sherry, because being from Eastern Kentucky, it was Sherry.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Sherry?
Well, that's a thing in Eastern Kentucky, isn't it? Ending names with an E.
Oh, very much so. My aunts Dora and Nova were Dory and Novi. Yeah.
Huh.
But like I said, he often called me Sherlock too. And I'm not sure if that was because I read Sherlock Holmes all the time, or he just thought it sounded good.
Well, because you're so smart.
Aw, that was it.
Well, interesting bits of history here. And I know that today's studies are a little shorter, but I guess that's appropriate on a day when we should also take some time out to remember our mothers, our grandmothers, mm-hmm. and remember those who have not been blessed with being a physical mother or biological mother, but who have nevertheless. And I thought the way, Leo, the chaplain at the Ozarks Manor talked about it today. He said, you know, God created woman to make homes for us men, because frankly, he didn't say this. I'm thinking in my head, because if it were up to us, we'd be living like bears.
Bears with furniture.
Exactly.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. Oh, you got furniture? Whoa.
Oh, man.
Getting above your raisin there, ain't you? But there is some truth to that. I mean, there is a civilizing influence that that women have on men. But more than that, it really... The family, I really think, centers around the love of mothers, the love of women for their families. And
honey, I love you so much. You've really blessed my life. Mm. You know, the Lord has done it through you, but boy, what a difference.
Mm. Amen. Well, it's like my dad always told me, son, you married up. Yes, I know. Don't forget. No, I won't. I promise. some good stuff today. And I love reading this period of history, because it's a fascinating period of history, like the post-Roman Britain. And maybe it's because there are still questions out there. And many of these questions are because mainstream archaeologists and historians refuse to reconsider the official timeline, which they admit is flawed based on Egyptian history.
Mm-hmm.
And because it doesn't synchronize with this broken clock that they're working with, they say, well, there's no evidence for the sojourn in Israel. There's no evidence for the Exodus, for the conquest of Canaan. There's no
evidence. But it's easier to look for the keys over here underneath the gaslight.
Yeah, the light is so much brighter over here.
We don't see any over here.
Dropped them over there. No, there's no light over there. We're going to keep looking here. But there are interesting, there are a number of ancient records that do mention Israel. And there's, of course, the stele at the Tel Dan, which makes reference to the house of David, which was probably written by one of the Aramean kings, one of the successors to Hadadezer, Hazael, I believe, or well, Ben-Hadad, one of those guys, anyway, who led his forces to victory, probably over King Ahab.
Ben-Hadad would make sense based on, you know, son of Hadadezer.
Right.
Yep.
And made reference to the House of David, his ally, the House of David. And, of course, scholars were, no, that can't be right. David didn't exist. Well, yeah, sorry, okay. He did. Well, next week we'll be traveling. We've got family that we'll be visiting with for a wedding.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, blessing of a union between two wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
indeed.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with the Gilbert House Fellowship. And until then, we hope you'll be blessed.
Do you have a VFTB going up tonight?
I do, actually. View from the Bunker this week is Stan Deo.
Oh!
Yeah, Stan was gracious enough to spare an hour. He was up against the clock because he had a doctor's appointment for his back. He's been having some issues with his back, and we're just praying for his healing there.
Mm-hmm.
But with the recent rash of major earthquakes, we had the major quakes in Japan and that huge devastating earthquake in Ecuador.
And did you see the story this morning that Mount St. Helens has had a lot of earthquakes recently, that experts, volcanologists are looking at this and saying it's recharging?
Ooh. Yeah. And we talked about that because these quakes and also some volcanoes, there's volcanic activity on the Russian island of Kamchatka, north of Japan.
There's always volcanic activity on the
island. Yeah, planes are having to divert around it. So I asked Stan about this because there were mainstream media reports that were asking the question, could it be that these quakes in Ecuador and Japan are somehow linked? And Stan said, well, yeah, if you draw a line through the core of the earth, basically they connect.
Yes.
And he had talked about, what is the term for that?
Antipodes.
Antipodes, right. He talked about that. And we had followed Stan's work years ago when he was reporting on the sea temperature anomaly map that was being published by the U.S. Navy.
Yeah.
The Navy switched computer systems, and when they switched computer systems, they stopped publishing that data, so he can't analyze that anymore.
He used to have that on his website all the time.
Right, and he was able to predict, he said, with an 80% accuracy based on temperature anomalies in the surface of the water where something might happen. Now, of course, it only applied to something that was going to occur, a quake that was going to occur along the coast. Mm-hmm. But of course, the Ring of Fire or the Arc of Fire around mm-hmm. the Pacific Rim has a lot of tectonic activity.
And let's face it, all of those alien things coming through the Pacific
Rift there,
Rim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're making another movie, by the way.
Are they really?
Yeah. Oh, I love me a big monster movie.
I, you know, honestly, that was a great movie.
I
watched that again.
Yeah. But anyway, we talked about that. So that was the discussion there. And asked him about what he could possibly do to top his presentation at the conference in Pikes Peak 2 years ago, where he gave some pretty compelling evidence that the Garden of Eden, the Mountain of God, is to be found in Tanzania,
mm-hmm.
which the locals there know. They've even got a sign.
Exactly. I know they've been saying it for a long time, but he didn't go from that.
Right.
He actually worked his way there and came up with the same conclusion.
Yeah, and then once he got there, it's like, oh, wow, the people there, they've known this all along. So he thinks now that he has found... Well, you'll have to listen. He doesn't really go into detail, but again, that wouldn't be fair for the people who are going to the conference.
Exactly.
So.
And those of you who have already gotten your tickets, you've registered for the conference.
Right.
You get to see him in person. If you haven't, you still can watch it live streaming.
Yeah. The live stream option is available. You'll find that at our friend's website at Prophecy Watchers, prophecywatchers.com.
Yep. And the cool thing about the live stream is you still got, I think it's a 30-day access after the fact.
45 days this time.
45. Yeah. They're really... up
well,
in their game.
6 weeks, but there are 32 presentations, so it's going to be tough to watch
time.
All of them.
Exactly.
And some of them will be happening simultaneously, which is why. So 6 weeks after the fact, they'll be archived.
Yeah.
So invite your friends over and have a prophecy conference watching party.
Yeah.
But Stan's presentation is going to be pretty awesome.
We'll have all the cows come in.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I love Bob Ulrich. Look at him. He's so cute.
We'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, which guides us and instructs us and encourages us. Lord, you have, as we read the Psalms and read of the despair into which David occasionally fell, as we get deeper into the Old Testament, we'll read of the despair that overwhelmed the prophets who served you, like Elijah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Father, you have promised us, you've told us, Lord, that our path following you would not be easy, that we would suffer tribulation for being followers of Jesus Christ. And yet we know, Lord, that ultimately the end will be joy and all tears will be wiped away. Lord, we pray that those in need of your comfort, emotionally, physically, those who are dealing with financial stresses, stresses in their personal lives, Father, that you would give comfort and guidance and encouragement, Lord. Your Spirit, Lord, we pray to minister to all those in need. And Father, we pray for those who are witnessing for Jesus Christ in places where doing so places their lives in danger. Lord, we thank you for your love and mercy, especially for your sacrifice, Father. And we pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear.